I want to know more. Certainly, all of us should want to know more about Jesus and should want to know more about our Lord. And it is His desire that we learn more about Him. It is something that He wants for us. And this is one of the reasons He says in what we usually term as the Great Invitation, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." So we should ever be endeavoring to learn of Jesus Christ, our Lord. We are told in 2 Peter chapter 3, in verse number 18, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever." When you love someone, you want to get to know them as best you possibly can. You want to get to know them intimately, closely. You want to know all about them as far as it is possible. And that should be the desire of every child of God in wanting to know more about our Savior, Jesus Christ. Turn in your Bibles, please, to a familiar passage of Scripture from the book of Philippians. Brother Clemens read verses 1 through 9 for us. I think it's good for us to review passages like this passage as those who are striving to learn more about Jesus, to be more like Jesus, and just to be faithful children of the Lord. Philippians 4, verses 1 through 9. I want to call your attention to some keys to right living. Some keys to right living. We can identify these keys that I want to share with you from this particular text, Philippians 4, verses 1 through 9. In verse number 1, Paul says, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved." In verse number 2, he says, "I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord." If we are to enjoy right living, it is necessary for us to maintain right relationships. Paul indicates that his relationship with the Christians at Philippi was a good relationship. And we can discern that the relationship was a good one because he says in addressing them, he identifies them as my brethren, and furthermore, as dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. So Paul had a special relationship with the Christians at Philippi. There was a closeness there. There was a wonderful mutuality and reciprocation in their relationship. Back up to Philippians chapter 1, and let's look at a few verses from chapter 1 that I think also emphasizes the quality of the relationship that Paul sustained with the Philippian Christians. Notice verse number 7 in Philippians chapter 1. He says, "Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart." Do y'all have me in your heart? I have you in my heart. That says something about the quality of the relationship. Now, you probably, most definitely, if you're married, you have your mate in your heart. If you have children that you feel close to and that you regard as beloved, you have them in your heart. And that's a wonderful thing, to have such a relationship with your children, with your mate, with your brothers and sisters in Christ, that you can say genuinely and authentically, "I have you in my heart." This is what Paul said with reference to the Philippians: "Inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of my grace." And then he makes an appeal to God. He says, "For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment." He further says that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, of being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. So all of this says that Paul regarded the Philippians as being very close, dear, beloved friends. He had a right relationship with them. And we need to sustain right relationships with each other as the people of God. Paul made a special appeal to two sisters at Philippi who apparently had some conflict at some time in their relationship. And so Paul is saying, "You ladies need to get it together." He says, "I beseech, or I beg, I plead with Euodias and Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life." So he is saying, "Now, Euodias and Syntyche, I'm beseeching you that you be of the same mind." That is, that you have the same mindset, that you be united together in mind. Look at Romans chapter 15, please. Romans chapter 15. And we're going to come back to Philippians chapter 4 in a moment. But Romans chapter 15, verses 5 and 6. Romans 15, verses 5 and 6. "Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded, one toward another, according to Christ Jesus." Now, according to the standard of Christ, he wants us to be like-minded. So he wants me to be like-minded with Clifford. He wants me to be like-minded with James. He wants me to be like-minded with Tamika. He wants me to be like-minded with Gerald. He wants me to be like-minded with Zali. He wants all of us to be like-minded. He wants us to have the same kind of mindset. Now, I want you to keep your finger right there, but let me look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 10. This says a lot about how Christians should be like-minded. This is true with reference to us as brothers and sisters in Christ, and it's true with reference to husbands and wives as well. I was talking to a minister from East Tennessee about 2 weeks ago, and he was looking for some material to use in some premarital counseling sessions that he was doing. We were talking about marriage, and he indicated that he was marrying two individuals. One was a member of the body, and the other was not a member of the body. And he wanted to work with the one who was not a member of the body and convert that person so that he'd be a member of the body. And I called his attention to this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 10, which very infrequently is used in connection with two people coming together in the marriage relationship. Now, we often talk about religious unity, condemn religious division on the basis of this passage, and rightly so, but rarely do we use this passage in the context of the marriage relationship. But I want you to see how well it fits. Whenever two people are coming together in the marriage relationship, when they are going to blend their lives together and bind themselves by oaths to each other, by wedding vows, they need to consider what Paul sets forth here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. He says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, I beg you, I implore you, by the name, that is, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing." Isn't it wonderful for a wife to speak the same thing that the husband speaks? Isn't it wonderful for a husband and wife to speak the same thing? Isn't it wonderful for parents and children to speak the same thing? Isn't it wonderful for grandparents and parents to speak the same thing? So Paul says, "I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you." Isn't that wonderful when no division exists between a husband and wife? You know, if there's a division there, the children will detect it and they will exploit it to their advantage. But if there's no division there, if you're speaking the same thing, those little knuckleheads won't be able to trip you up. But they're going to try their level best. But you will be able to block them every time if you take heed to Paul's appeal, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Isn't that a wonderful thing? You know, there'll be far fewer conflicts in the church when we have the same mind and the same judgment and speak the same thing and be perfectly joined together. Things go so much more smoothly. I think because of our appreciation for the Word of God here at Hart Street, we're not perfect at Hart Street, but we have been able to maintain a spirit of unity and a spirit of togetherness and a spirit of cooperation. Yeah, we have plenty of room for improvement. There's room for growth, but we have a lot to be thankful for as a people of God striving to be united, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We have some right relationships here. We have the same care one for another here. We have a right relationship, and this is the kind of relationship that Paul wanted to reestablish between Euodias and Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Now, I'm going to go back to Romans right quick and look at chapter 15, this time verse number 6. He already said in verse number 5 that they be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. See, Jesus is the standard. But in verse number 6, he says that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we should do that because we should all be speaking the same thing. We should glorify God with one mouth and one mind, like we do when we are singing. You see, singing is an expression of our unity and our togetherness because we're all singing the same words. We're all singing the same song. And that says something about our togetherness and our relationship with each other. So in order to experience and enjoy right living, it is necessary for us to sustain right relationships. But not only is that the case, it is also wonderful for us to have right registration. How many of you are registered to vote? Anybody? Okay, quite a few folks registered to vote. All righty. How many of you are registered with various service organizations? Any Lions Club members here or Civitan Club members? Any NAACP members here? No NAACP members? Anybody members of a sorority or a fraternity? You know, Paul, he talked about true yoke fellows and women which labored with him in the gospel, and with Clement also, and with other of his fellow laborers. Then he identifies them by speaking of them as having their names in the book of life. That's what I call right registration. And I don't care where your name is inscribed, I don't care where your name is registered, if your name is not written in the book of life, you are minus the greatest registration ever known to man. You see, when you obey the gospel of Christ and become a child of God, he automatically writes your name in the book of life. Is your name in the book of life? I trust it is. And I trust that your name will remain in the book of life. You know why I say that? I say it because it's possible for your name to be blotted out. But in order for me to have the enjoyment of right living, I need right relationships and I need to maintain right registration. In order to keep your name written in the book, Lamb's book of life, you need to live right. You know, Brother James, we need to live right and talk right and do right. You have to do that in order to keep your name in the Lamb's book of life. But not only must we have right registration, but we also must have right rejoicing. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 4. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. A lot of folks rejoice in a lot of things. And the kind of thing that you rejoice in over their personal financial accomplishments. Some folks rejoice in their pedigree, in their family ancestry. Some folks rejoice in their academic attainments. Some folks rejoice in their accumulation of material riches. But there's nothing like, there's nothing that compares with rejoicing in the Lord. There's no better place anybody can ever be than in the Lord. Are you in the Lord today? Are you in Christ? Now, I want you to know that you cannot be in the Lord without being in the church. Because the same process by which one gains entrance into the church, he gains entrance into the Lord. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27, for as many of us as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13, for by one spirit are we all baptized into one body. Are you in the Lord? If you are in the Lord, you have every reason to rejoice. It's a wonderful thing to be in the Lord. I'd much rather be in the Lord than be in the Rockefeller family or be in the Bill Gates family. You know, Bill Gates is a multi-billionaire. He can write a check and the bank will bounce. You know, you got some financial clout when you can do that. But I'd much rather be in the Lord than in the Gates family. I'd much rather be in the Lord than in a whole bunch of other places. I experience right rejoicing each and every day of my life. You know, we all have so much to be thankful for. So much to be thankful for. And the thing that is impressive to me with reference to right rejoicing in the Lord is the fact that when you are in the Lord, you have ready access to all spiritual blessings. Every spiritual blessing is available in the Lord. No spiritual blessing is available outside the Lord. So you have to be in the Lord if you want to enjoy spiritual blessings. Now, the Lord is the source of physical blessings as well. And he causes his sun to shine on the just and the unjust. He causes the rain to fall on the righteous and the unrighteous. So there are a lot of folks who've been blessed with a lot of material things, and they're not in the Lord. But nobody has access to the spiritual blessings that God has made available except you're in the Lord. If you're not in him, I hope you'll get in him this evening. I'm going to close off right here. I got some more points I could make, but I'm not going to make them. I'm just going to hush right at this point. But I want all of us to strive to maintain right relationships. And you started right at the house with you and your wife, or you and your parents, or you and your brothers and sisters, you and your cousins. You know, y'all ought to be in right relationships with each other. And you need to have right registration with the Lord. Your name needs to be written in the book of life. That's the way it should be. And you should be able to rejoice, experience right rejoicing in the Lord. You're not in him this evening. I trust that you're willing to do what it takes to gain entrance in him. He's made it possible for us by dying on the cross of Calvary in our stead, by paying the penalty for our sins, by being buried after his death in a borrowed tomb, and after being resurrected from the grave on the third day, early on the first day of the week. Jesus rose with all power in his hands, making our salvation possible. But you know, the thing that is very tragic and lamentable is the fact that unless we appropriate the salvation that Jesus made possible by his death on the cross through our obedience to the gospel, Jesus may as well have never lived, and Jesus may as well have never died and been buried and been resurrected. As far as we are concerned, there is no need for you to die and be lost. You don't have to. Jesus died for you. The wages of sin is death, and he's already paid it. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. But if you don't take advantage of it, if you don't properly claim it through humble obedience, you'll do without it, and you will still die and go to hell. He said, "Brother Jones, you didn't say that, did you?" "Yes, I most certainly did." It will happen. You'll be lost eternally if you don't take advantage of what Jesus did for you on the cross. You've heard that wonderful story of love, that good news of the gospel. Believe it with all of your heart. Repent of your sins. Confess your faith. Be baptized for the remission of your sins. Gain entrance into Christ, where all spiritual blessings are available. You can arise from the watery grave of baptism, a brand new creation ready to live a brand new life, having a right relationship with God and a right relationship with your fellow man, a right relationship with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Your name registered in heaven in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you have every reason to rejoice in the Lord. If you're here and you're already a child of God but have fallen by the wayside and have lapsed into a tragic and unfortunate state of unfaithfulness and have trampled on the calloused and insensitive feet the holy commandments of the Lord, you don't have to remain in that unenviable and unfortunate circumstance. Through repentance, confession, and prayer, you can be restored this evening and again have a right relationship with the Lord and have the assurance that your name will remain written in the book of life and you can rejoice in the Lord. Will you come right now as we together stand and as we sing?
When the Savior calls, I will answer. When he calls for me,
I will hear. When the Savior calls, I will answer. I'll be somewhere listening for my name.
I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere
listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name.